Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. Why does the church do what it does? Why should I, you, my listener, be a part of a church and its meetings? How are we to know? Can I say this? Jesus did not leave it up to you and I to figure out, to other people, to people back in history. Jesus gave us some very specific guidelines of the purpose and the function of the church. And that's what we want to talk about on today's episode. We want to answer this question, why should I go to church? Too often we think of church as a place to go and worship God. We go to this physical location so that I can worship God. But as we'll learn, church is so much more than that. Honestly, worship falls down to the bottom of the purpose list. It's still part of it, but a big part of that is because you and I can worship God each and every day. When you think of God, you're worshiping. When you sing about God, you're worshiping. When you do your best at work, giving 100%, you're worshiping God. There's so many, when you're in class and you're taking the test and you're giving 100% because God's placed you there, when you're fulfilling God's will, all of this worships God. So church is not just a place to go and physically worship God. There's so much more to church than just that. And so we want to look at it in Acts chapter 2. We'll just try to briefly hit these as we go down, but we learn so much between 241 through 47. And we'll think about the objectives of the local church. I mean, first and foremost, we understand the church's purpose is to bring glory to God and to fulfill his mission on earth. As we see the church meeting in the early stages of the New Testament in Acts chapter 2, we saw in our previous episode, we talked about this, and they that gladly received his word, that was Peter preaching the gospel, he gave them a message, they were baptized. They heard the word, they believed the word, they were baptized. And it says, in the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we understand they became members of that church in Jerusalem. And then verse 42 says what they did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And it goes on to say that they sold their possessions and goods. And it goes on to say in verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. And verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we understand this passage is talking about the purpose and the function of church. So the first part here we see is the objectives of the church. The purpose is preaching and teaching. So the preaching and teaching of the Word of God is the primary focus of the local church. The local church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. But notice in our passage, it's not just any doctrine. It's the apostles' doctrine. Where did they get their teachings from? They got their teachings from Jesus Christ. What does this mean, the apostles' doctrine? Well, it means not just any teachings will constitute a biblical church. It must be in line with the teachings in Scripture, which means we can test a church by its doctrine, by its beliefs, whether it would be a biblical church. Because let me just say this, there are lots of churches that would claim to be Christian, and many of them are. But then many of them are not, because their teachings, their doctrine do not line up fully with the Word of God. And so we can test a church by its doctrine. This doctrine will be the primary factor as we look at how to discern and choose a church, which we'll get into in a future episode. Now, how is this teaching done in the church? Well, we see the procedure for preaching and teaching seem to be flexible. Preaching is the central method of teaching, though, but we see teaching in large groups, small groups, Bible studies in people's houses. They continue daily with one accord. So preaching and teaching is vital, and that's important because you and I need to be equipped, and we're going to talk about that. The Word of God helps us. It's alive. It's living, and that's where we go to have the Word of God preached and talk to us. You say, well, I can have that online. You can today in comparison to maybe 10 years back. You say, so I don't need to go to a church. I can watch it online. I can listen to it via podcast, YouTube. That's great. But then secondly here, guess what? The next function of the church is fellowship. So they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And I think this is a vital, vital element that you cannot get outside of being a part of a local church. Fellowship is the community and the connection with other believers. And this is a vital, vital element of the church. Just like you have to have food to nourish your body, you have to have God's word and fellowship with other believers to nourish your spiritual life, to nourish that inner man that's within you. So this is so much more than just a social club, because it involves the preaching and teaching and also getting the mission of God out. So it's not just a social club. Fellowship means they had a close relationship with each other. All aspects of the church consist in this fellowship or closeness. It's like a big family. But notice, fellowship is always connected with doctrine. You say, who should I fellowship with? Look at their doctrine, and we're going to talk about that. The fellowship was in common teachings, common doctrine. They had their material possessions in common, meaning they brought their money together. They were giving to different types of outreaches. They were given to different types of needs. We see they're praying together and they're reaching others with the gospel. What is so important about fellowship? Why do we say you must have it? Ecclesiastes gives just kind of a principle truth that we can apply to it. It says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Let me just stop there. You understand, as a believer, you have an enemy, Satan, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And I've seen this time and time again as I've been able to have more years of experience in the Christian life and in church, where people will have a hard time and they'll pull away. And they place themselves in isolation or in a alone type of position, and the enemy has a heyday with them. Rather than what God designed it for, is when you're struggling, when you have the trials, there's great strength in those numbers. Continue, watch what it says. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up again. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you out there all alone, not engaging in the community of a local church, because then you're alone. You don't have the strength. You don't have the accountability. You don't have the encouragement. You don't have the equipping. You don't have the prayers. And on I can go. This verse goes on to say, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And watch this. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The idea there is the more together, the greater the strength. And so the community is there to encourage you, to help you, to build you up, to train you, also to rebuke you when you're wrong, to come alongside you. And fellowship includes intergenerational relationships, which are vital aspects of the Christian life. People that are younger than you, your same age stage, and people that are older. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to go to Christian men and women that are older than myself and learn from them and be able to help them pour into my life. And so I say, why do you need a local church? It's not just enough to hear the preaching and teaching via YouTube, podcast, online, because of fellowship. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and it says in breaking of bread and prayers. You see, both public and private prayer is a vital aspect of the function of the church. Yes, you can pray there in your house, in your car, wherever you're at, but you don't have the combined prayers of the community, of the body of Christ, as far as that local church. And so when you think about the services, there should be some emphasis in every service on prayer, maybe even a special service set aside for prayer. Verse 45, another function is giving. Biblical giving in the church includes aspects, two aspects of you serving or giving through self, through service. You serve through that local church. You say, well, I can serve on my own. You can. But that's not the way God designed it. It's Jesus's church. He designed it. He placed it here for you and I as believers. And then the financial giving through tithes, offerings, and missions giving, when that is put together, a pool of money is increased. So you may can give your $100 and it have some effect, but if 100 people give $100, imagine what can be done. And there's just great strength there. And so the giving is done, singing, They sang. We won't get into all that. Equipping is a huge part of it. And I'll go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 5. And it talks about this. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, pastors and teachers. And he says this is the function for the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, all of that within a local church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So there's a goal that we're working towards, to come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Watch this. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. And so the purpose of the church is to equip you. A huge part of the church is equipping you to live your Christian life, and not only to live it, but to live it victoriously. And it provides opportunities for you to do so. This is done through the preaching, the teaching, the connections through community with other believers. It literally means to equip the saints for the work of the ministry unto the building up of the body of Christ. And so here, every believer is called to have a specific and active role in God's kingdom. That's your work of the ministry. And the local church gives you the ability to carry that out. And in order for these to occur, this equipping, this preaching, teaching, in order to keep you from, and I love what it says here, the equipping is important. Why? That you're not tossed to and fro as a child, carried about with every wind of doctrine. How do you know what to believe and why to believe it? Where are you going to find that? You're going to find it in the Word of God, and you're going to find it through a community of believers that can guide you into truth, will speak the truth in love to you. You can come together. You can hash out your doubts. You can talk. You can ask questions. All these different things are done, what, within a church. A biblical church. One writer said this, the Christians you meet in the book of Acts were not content to meet once a week for service as usual. They met daily, cared daily, won souls daily, searched the scriptures daily, and increased in number daily. Their Christian faith was a day-to-day reality, not a once-a-week routine. Why? Because the risen Christ was a living reality to them, and his resurrection power was at work in their lives through the Spirit. And he gave a reference to, in the book of Acts, to every one of those dailies. You see, God's work is done daily. It's not just Sunday morning, checkbox, I went to church. That's not it. That is a one meeting in a location of the church. The church has so much more that it's supposed to be doing day in and day out. The church doesn't just operate on Sunday mornings. The church is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, worldwide. Why? Because the church leaves the building and the church itself goes into the community to be light, to be salt, to share the gospel, to do ministry, to do outreaches, all of these things that are going on. And the body of Christ, that church, as it goes out, accomplishes what God wants it to do. And then lastly, I'll do this. The purpose of the church is to worship. I put that last on the list for a reason. I already mentioned it at the beginning of the episode. Too often we think the purpose of church is to go there to worship, but that's just not the case. There is so much more to the function of the church. Worship is a vital part. And if you go there to hear preaching, teaching, if you go there to sing, if you go there to do ministry, if you're serving, if you're on security, if you're in the nursery, if you're a teacher for a Bible study, whatever it is, worship's going to occur during these times. You see, you worship God when you read, when you study, when you think of him, when you give your all, when you're honest, you're ethical at work. And that's why worship is not the reason we go to church. It's just something that happens when we're there. And prayerfully, it will be good worship, that the collective body will be giving themselves over to God. They will be bowing their knees, ascribing worth. That's what the word means, worship, ascribing worth to God in a collective meeting. But that's not the only reason to go. The reason to go is because, one, Jesus instituted the church. He died for the church. He's building the church. It is the church that has the promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's there that the function of preaching and teaching and equipping you, the fellowship that you have to have, that community that we're all wanting and looking for. Why? Because God created us as relational beings. The prayer, the giving, the opportunities to serve and so forth all come from the purpose of that local church. And we could get into more about the ordinances, the Lord's Supper, baptism. We won't take that time on this episode. We may take one more episode just to look in more detail about baptism, because I do get a lot of questions about baptism. Is baptism required for salvation? What about the different types of baptism? What if you were sprinkled, you know, as an infant? What if you were baptized maybe as a teenager, but then you come to faith, and should you be rebaptized? I get a lot of these questions working on the college campus, and I'll come back with one more episode about baptism specifically. Must a person be saved, or must a person be baptized to be saved? We'll answer those and try to give you a reason why and help you to know what you believe and why you believe it with that on our next episode. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.